This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." And Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. This is one of the most fascinating scriptures of the Old Testament. Jacob wrestling with God. And as we think about what it means to wrestle with God, I want to talk about some reasons why we know or why people wrestle with God. And we'll just go down a list, if that's okay with you. First reason why Jacob would wrestle with God, or why anyone would wrestle with God, is because of their past. Sometimes, I appreciate Ray being so candid and just coming up and giving his degree, pedigree, you know. Just saying, opening himself up and trusting the body to say who he is, or who he was, I guess, and to talk about his past. We don't always like to reveal our past, but our past always stays with us, doesn't it? So sometimes we have those secret stories that only certain people know, but God knows all of them. And so we see here that at times people try to wrestle with God because they're trying to get away from their past. For Jacob, you remember the sermon a few weeks ago, Jacob had grabbed a hold of the birthright. He had grabbed a hold of the right of the firstborn. He had taken what Esau didn't esteem, and he usurped the authority to take that to himself. And I suspect by this time Jacob is not really proud of what he did in order to get himself in that place. I suspect that Jacob actually recognizes that he was sort of a dirtbag for doing that. He recognizes something. How many of you have done something that you're not proud of? Raise your hand. Yeah, I think we're pretty much unanimous in that all of us have something. How many of you would like to see it rolled in beautiful footage on the screen here in the church? Probably none of us, right? We don't want that to be seen. Stuff that we don't want seen, it's our past. And so sometimes we wrestle with God because we just don't want to be defined or identified with the things that we did in the past, because that we're trying to make a break with that. And then even times when we have felt as if we've made a break from that, then it seems as though it still hangs on us, or tries to form us at certain times and tries to lead us in a certain direction or another. We might regret our past. We maybe haven't been the brother or the husband or the friend or the worker or the citizen that we should have been at one time or another in our life. And so we try to wrestle with God. "God, I don't want that to be hanging on me." And that was certainly one of the things Jacob was wrestling with. Sometimes we do it because we have these personal failures and flaws. You have personal failures and flaws? I certainly do. And when I see those personal failures and flaws, when they creep up every once in a while, I see those things and I spend nights at times wrestling with the idea that, how come I'm still not over that year 40, 50? How come I'm still not over that flaw? How come I haven't managed to get over on that one thing, that personal flaw, that personal failure? Sometimes we wish that God would lead us or guide us or give us the magic pill. How many times have you prayed for the magic pill? Lord, just tell me what it is. What is it? Put a chicken leg in a bag and wave it over my head on the front lawn. Whatever it is, you tell me what to do. I will do it if it will break that personal flaw. I don't know what yours is. Maybe it's so convenient for you to lie when the truth is out there. You just don't want to. So you lie, or maybe yours is an anger issue and you just explode, you know. Or maybe you got a thing for gossip and you like to hear and speak the gossip to people. I don't know, whatever your personal flaws, you keep finding yourself stepping in that same mess over and over again. And maybe you even take it to the altar. Maybe you even spend a nice good Sunday morning at the altar seeking God, asking God, Lord, take this away. We wrestle with God many times over these flaws in our own life because we don't want, maybe you're having a hard time staying in the Word or being diligent or being faithful. And or maybe you have lusts that are consuming you. Whatever the personal flaws that you have, you take those to God, and we wrestle with God over those same things. I think, again, here the heel grabber, Jacob, he recognized this was a part of his character. I mean, he came out of the womb shady. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they named him heel grabber as he was coming out of the womb. That's pretty shady right there. They didn't give him no kindergarten teacher told his mama anything that she didn't already know. She knew it from the get-go, from the birth incident. She knew that he was a heel grabber and that this was an issue. And sometimes we're prone to be judgmental. Sometimes we're prone to be self-righteous. Sometimes we're prone to have lusts or lie or whatever it is. We wrestle with God over those things. Sometimes we wrestle with God because we don't like the situation we're in. You don't like where you are today. The good news is you aren't going to be where you are today in the future. You're going to be moved out of that position. The bad news is no matter how much you don't like where you are today, today it's where you are. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, man, I tell you what, sometimes bad stuff happens to you and you want to do anything. Just, you know, Calgon, take me away, whatever it is, to just suck you out of wherever you are and bring you to a place where you don't have to deal with that stress. How many of you, I know some of you have had floods and you've had all kinds of things in the last few weeks, and that's stressful, isn't it, to go through those things? And the last thing you want to do is to deal with that kind of junk in your life. And as you're dealing with that kind of stuff, you realize, you're asking those questions, why me? And you're wrestling with God. I don't want to be in this situation. I want to be on easy street, you know. Maybe you're financially struggling, and you don't want to be financially. Who wants to be poor? Raise your hand. Okay, see, nobody ever raised their hand for that. See, nobody, you know, even if you believe that it might have some spiritual benefit for you to learn a lesson or something like that, you just want to find another way to learn that lesson, right? It'd be a better way. There got to be a better way, easier way. Magic pill. I'm always going right to the magic pill. Magic pill would be the easiest for me for everything. Just in fact, one pill would be great, you know, to fix all those things. See, we get in that situation and we end up wrestling with God. I don't want to be here. I don't want this. And you know, I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to have to do that. And then the Lord says, but you're the pastor, so you have to get up. And so you don't understand what I'm saying. So you don't like the situation. And so you say, I don't want to go. So you're wrestling with God about those things. And if you're really intense, you're dealing with it. I think Jacob, it's interesting what it says here in verse 22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he sent them across the stream, and he sent over all his possessions. Earlier in the chapter we read that he divided his family into two different chunks. All his cattle and sheep and ox, he put half of them in this group and another half in this group. And then he took his wives and he divided them, and some of his kids with this wife and some of his kids with this wife and this maidservant with this wife and this maidservant with this group, so that the two groups, and he sent them across the brook ahead of himself. You know, you realize the reason why he did that is because his brother had vowed to kill him. The next time I see him, I will kill him. And Jacob had dodged town, left town when it was just Jacob. It was easy to be
shifty, you know, when he was just a single guy, but now God has blessed him. He's got all kinds of stuff. And now he's heading back home. And as he's heading back home, he realized, my brother and I still have an issue. You know what I'm talking about? You still got an issue sometimes with people. And so he says what he's going to do, because he's still Jacob at this moment. You know, he's not Israel yet. The angel hasn't touched him yet. So he does, I'm going to split my family. I'll send half the family over on this side, and I'll send half the family this side, and they'll cross the brook in two different places. Because if my brother comes and wipes out half of everything I own, at least I'll have the other half of the family. Now, you can look that up in the book of good fathering, and it never says sacrifice half of your family and half of your possessions to protect your own scrawny behind, right? It never says that anywhere in the book of good fathering. I don't know who wrote the book of good fathering, but that's the reason why, that's where he is. And so he's divided up everything and sent them out in two groups. So if one group is attacked, the other group can run and hide, and he'll still have some of that. It'd be like you having two bank accounts. In case the IRS came and took one, you'd still have another one. You understand what I'm saying? Right? IRS, Esau, you get how that works. Okay, so here's the issue. So he doesn't like the situation he's in. He hasn't wrestled with this issue to the point. So he's wrestling with God. And he's saying, I don't like this issue. I don't like the situation. Even though, like us, many times, we create the situation. Jacob made the situation that he didn't like. You're there because you deserve to be there, because you put you there. Oh, that's good preaching right there. You take that home and think about it. Maybe I'm where I'm at because that's where I put myself, and I'm here. And that doesn't mean you ever have to like it. In fact, if you don't like it, that just means you're wise. Right? You don't have to like it. I remember one time we were in a class and somebody said to me, well, how can you tell your kids that you know, drugs are bad if you don't do them? Hello? Well, how can I? Well, let's get specific. How can I tell my kids that heroin's bad? Do I need to be a junkie in order for them to? I can say, heroin's bad, and acid's bad, and PCP's bad. How do you know, Dad? Because I do all that stuff just to prove to you it's bad. Where's that end? Drink and Drano, bad, done it, you know? At what point, you know? Dousing your body with gasoline, bad idea. How do you know, Dad? Did it. Really? We have no authority unless we sample stuff. Some things are just right and wrong. Some things are just, you just recognize it can't be good to keep ingesting all these things into your body over and over and over again. Sometimes the situations that we are in, we're in because we put ourselves in there. But sometimes we just have to know that's bad. Sometimes it's because we learn spiritual lessons in life. Have you ever gone through life and suddenly the light bulb went over your head? I heard a comedian ask this week, if you have a really bad thought, does the light bulb over your head, is that a black light? I thought it was funny anyway. But so you have this lesson comes to you. The light bulb finally goes on. You realize, oh, I got this because I did this and this and this. And it could be that's what Jacob's realizing. I've made some mess back home. I'm going back home, and it's time for the chicken to come home to roost. Right? It's time to pay the piper, you know? Time for the cows to come home. There's all these farm barnyard things I'm saying. A couple barnyard things and one piper. So anyway, here. So the idea here is he's at this place where he has to recognize that he's come to a significant lesson. And so he wrestles with God. All these times, these things happen to Jacob. These things happen to us because we're dealing with these things. Sometimes we wrestle with God simply because we want blessing. I want blessing. Don't you want blessing? Nobody raised their hand when they were poor, wanting to be poor, so I'm assuming you want some form of blessing, even if it's just financial. Lord, give me the next widget that will turn everything around and give me millions of dollars. Or whatever it is, the blessing you're seeking, whatever the thing it is you want, the ministry idea, or whatever it is, Lord, give me your blessing. You're asking, you're wrestling with God for that blessing. And so you're asking God to give and to hold that blessing for you. There is an acute need in our hearts for us to trust God for the future. It seems to me that as Jacob is dividing his family into two groups, there's not a lot of trust in God for the future. There's sort of cover your own. That's his mentality. Cover your own. We'll do whatever we can to make sure that it works out this way. See, God wants us to cling to him for all the unforeseen things that will happen in the future. Because there's a world of things that you haven't thought of. And I know you've thought of some humdinger things that could really go wrong in your life. You know, if you're a worrier, you get really good at this, thinking negative thoughts, right? Oh, it's just, that's just the way I am. I'm just made like that. I'm just a worrier. I have a clue for you. Stop it. Trust God. But what happens? Oh, I'm just a worrier. What do? You sit and you think, what could go wrong? You know, what could go wrong? And you start thinking. And you don't think, well, I mean, you don't think, well, Godzilla could come in and take over the whole town. You don't think of that kind of, but you think bad thoughts. You don't think nothing could happen. You think bad things could happen to me. And you think them really, really bad things, right? Like horrible things. And so you think those things could happen to you, and you begin to worry about those things. The chances are about 90% that those things will not happen. But you're investing all this energy into worry and concern about that, and you're really becoming creative now, really thinking, you know, that how horrible certain things are. And certainly that cough is not just a cough. It's got to have something more to it. It could be lung cancer. Who knows what could be, you know, and you have extrapolated all the way into the future. Who's going to watch my children? Right? Because you have a cough. You went from a cough to who's going to watch my children now that I'm gone? You're already gone. You see, you have really, really become good at that. You've learned how to handle that in that way. See, God has better for you. Now, the interesting thing is, Jacob is probably thinking about all those things. The reason why Jacob is wrestling with God is because Jacob has all these things going on. Lucky for you, you probably have one or two of these things going on. Jacob has all these things going on. He divests himself of everything that he is. Probably one of the most telling verses is verse 24. So Jacob was left alone. Who are you when your children are gone? And your fortune is gone. And your livelihood is gone. And everything that you are, every relationship is gone. Who are you? You're standing there by yourself. Most of us will do almost anything to get away, to stay from being by ourselves. We don't like ourselves. We like ourselves well enough we can live with ourselves, but we don't want to be just by ourselves. We want to collect friends or have a phone call. How many of you know somebody who has a cell phone and it just seems to be growing right out their ear? It's like they talk to people 24/7 a day. It's like, oh, here's a downtime, red light. Hello, how are you? And they always have to be communicating with someone else, usually about really not too important things. And we don't like to be alone, because when we're left alone, when we're stripped bare, and that's how, if you're going to wrestle with God, you have to be stripped bare. I don't wrestle with God as Pastor Dave. No, I wrestle with God as just Dave. I don't wrestle with God with my title. I don't wrestle with God and say, well, you know, here I am, Dave, the father of Matthew and Seth and Leah. I don't come as husband of Cindy. I don't come as pastor of Christian Life Center. I come just as myself. See, when you strip yourself bare and divest yourself of all these things because you're trying to cover all your past and cover all the contingencies, you recognize, as you're doing that, you recognize that now you're just you before God. One time I was talking to a gal, and she asked me, you know, Pastor, when's your most effective prayer time? And I said, in the shower. I like to take a long shower, talk to Jesus while I'm in the shower. And she said, well, I couldn't talk to God while I'm in the shower because I'm naked. And I confirmed to her, I too am naked when I shower. And it was a revelation for her. But I still talk to God because guess what? He sees you naked even today. He sees you naked. You know, I mean, he knows who you are. There's no hiding. You don't put on a shirt and all. You know, I mean, you could fool us. I could fool you. I get dressed up. I cover up all the Dunlaps and all the other stuff, you know, where your belly Dunlap over your belt, you know. I cover up all those things. I could cover those things up with a shirt or with a jacket. But God sees who you really are. God sees you naked as a jaybird, both physically and spiritually. He knows who you really are. It's really embarrassing. And I'm surprised we don't worship like this. I would think that it would be more appropriate, you know. I mean, in a sense, to lift up holy hands to God is really the act of complete surrender, because he knows just who you are. So we're just saying, Lord, I know I'm not fooling you. I got these people fooled. They think I know what I'm doing when I pray. They think I know what I'm doing when I'm living a Christian life. But you and I know, I'm clueless, right? So I come to you, Lord, and I'm saying, Abba, pick me up and carry me out of here. Abba, carry me around. Lord, help me, God. So when we come to God, we're coming to him. We're wrestling with God because we want something different than what we are. But we have to recognize that in order for him to really, really wrestle us, we have to be completely divested of ourselves. The second part of verse 24, Jacob was left alone. He's left alone. He's alone, and a man wrestles with him. He's alone, and a man wrestles with him. He's alone, and a man wrestles with him. If I was the English teacher that was passing this, I would say, no, that doesn't make sense. He can't be alone and have a man wrestle with him, right? Right? It just doesn't make any sense unless that man is the angel of the Lord. That's the only real reason. So the angel of the Lord comes and meets Jacob alone, stripped bare of everything who he was, all his possessions, everything that could have possibly been to his accolade, anything. Because I kind of believe that Jacob was trying really to impress Esau. Trying to think he said to Esau, you could have half of my family, you could have half of my possessions, just let me live. I think there was sort of a self-preservation thing in there. That's why he stayed back. He thought he was just going to wow Esau so much that Esau was going to go, wow, God's really blessed my brother. You know, But what he doesn't realize is Esau, as he's seeing all this stuff go by, he's realizing that's my birthright. That was my blessing. It was just going to tick him off all the more. Unless God did something in Esau, which, of course, you know the story. God already had done something in Esau. But Jacob doesn't know that, because Jacob hasn't bothered to keep in touch. And so he's wrestling by himself with God. He comes to God alone. And now he recognizes that his character is flawed. And the angel comes and puts him in a headlock and begins to wrestle him. Something I see here, most of us don't wrestle with who we really are. Most Christians don't really wrestle with their own integrity or their own character. We make excuses for it. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, that's the way I was raised. That's just the way I am. That means it's God's fault. That's just the way I was raised. That means it's my mama's fault. We push blame on all these different people, right? Instead of saying, this is who I really am. Most Christians don't do that. We just make excuses for our behavior and say, well, that's kind of the way I always thought it would be. Rather than coming to God and having the truth smack you in the face and dealing with that. One time I was at a party when I was a teenager, and there was a bunch of rowdy guys there from a different school, a school where my wife went, actually. I won't hold it against her. But anyway, I was walking out onto the patio, through the big sliding doors, you know, the sliding doors. I was on a patio, and yes, there was some alcohol involved in this. And then as I walked out of the door, some guy was standing around the side waiting for me with a 2x4, and he swung the 2x4 like a baseball bat and clipped me right in the face with the 2x4. And that was the end of that party, as far as I remember. I remember very much else about that party. And Eric, there are times when God's dealing with you, the truth hits you that hard. It just knocks you square on your behind. But you have to be willing to have the truth beat you up. And that takes a certain amount of internal integrity. And you want God to see who you really are and to expose it to you. You know, whenever there's a gift of prophecy or something, and God says, you know, hey, Bobby, come on down. And Bobby's always freaking out. Oh, my God. Prophet's going to say everything I ever did in front of the entire congregation, right? Of course, God doesn't work like that. That's not how God works. He speaks words of encouragement. He builds up. He doesn't tear down like that. So, but that's all we're always thinking, that who we are is going to be really revealed. See, the idea of living a life of introspection, of spending time each day, Lord, was there something I did to displease you? How can I avoid doing that again another time? That's untried in our generation. People don't live an introspective life where they're just kind of listening to God. Part of it's because we're so busy. Part of it because there's such good stuff on TV. Oh, that can't be it. Must be something else. But for some reason, we don't want to know who we really are, because then we're accountable for who we really are. And if I'm accountable for who I really am, then that guy looking back at me in the mirror, he's not my friend anymore. He's my enemy. Right? You have an enemy in the mirror? I do sometimes have an enemy in the mirror. And I have to hear what he's saying to me, and I have to listen to what he's trying to do. So we wrestle with that. See, Jacob's character is laid out for him to see. He realizes he has to go through all these things in order to just get over on his brother. It's a lot of work sometimes to avoid repentance. So what are the benefits of wrestling? Well, the good thing is, how many of you think the angel of the Lord could take Jacob in one half a second? Right? The angel of the Lord. But Jacob wrestles with him all night. Is that because Jacob is so ripped? Is that why? No. It's because God invests just as much as you do in the wrestling process. Think about that for a minute. You give it all you got, he gives it all he's got. He matches you strength for strength. You're never going to get over on him. But he won't overcome you either. He wants to see what you've got. That's when we wrestle with God, we're trying to figure things out. We're trying to understand the situation. We're trying to get a hold of our character. We're trying to really interest that God will meet you with exactly the same pressure that you put into it. You get out of it what you invest into it. That's amazing to me. Because we all know that angel of the Lord, he can just go, wham, you're pinned. At any moment, right? And go, okay, we got the rest of the night left. But he doesn't. He lets himself work up an angelic sweat. I don't know if angels sweat, but I'm just. And he's rolling around in the dirt with a human. God wrestling with man. See, God longs to get down in your dirt and wrestle with who you are. He wants to show us what we are, what we're made of. He wants us to invest and really work at it. See, God never goes, oh, I heal you of your flesh. No, if anyone ever gives you that testimony, and then God healed me of my flesh, they're a liar. Because you can't be delivered from your flesh. It's always with you. Now, one of these days, the Lord will come back, and this old flesh will drop off of us like a big old overcoat, and we'll go slide into heaven, and God will go, right? The throw from left field will be late. And we'll be safe in heaven, delivered of our flesh. But until then, God determines that he wants us to work on our flesh, to wrestle with our flesh, to really, really deal with who we are. And he's willing to get into it with you and roll around. How frustrating must it have been for Jacob? First minute, oh, I'm finally alone. Right? Those darn kids are finally gone. Oh, he had 11 boys. Come on. He was happy those kids were on the other side of the river. Come on now. He knows. You know what I'm talking about. And he's in a headlock. Now he's like, does a flip and then a ninja chop and then a couple spinning back kicks. And they're still rolling around on the floor. And you give? No. You give? No. Tap out. Tap out. Tap out. But nobody's tapping out. You tap out. No, you tap out. What is your name? What is your name? See, Jacob is not overcome. When you wrestle with God, you won't be overcome either. You won't be beat down and defeated. You'll be strong. You won't be overcome by the situation you're looking at. You'll be stronger. You'll come out of it and you'll say, wow, I realize who I am. And you'll know who you are. I wrote in my notes, there's no easy button in heaven. You don't just get to go push a button and all of a sudden you figure out who you are. You have to wrestle with it. When I first came to Jesus, I had a lot of issues, but one of the issues, I had a Coke problem. So I came to Jesus and I sat in a little prayer room and I said, Lord, I give you my life. And the Lord just took away my Coke problem. Took it away. Delivered. Had other problem. I was a smoker. And God just sprinkled magic fairy dust over me. No, he didn't. He said, quit. And I know I can quit because I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times. I tried to quit smoking, and I went back. And I quit. I'm not going to buy anymore. And then I was Minnie the Mooch at the in the break room, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Why didn't God just deliver me? Why didn't he just get, why is the magic pill, where is it? Why isn't there a spiritual patch we can just get over the flesh? There isn't. There isn't. So what is it? So God wants me to get down in the dirt and wrestle with it. God wants me to deal with my issue. He wants me to wrestle with my own weaknesses, my own flaws, my own failures. I don't know why he doesn't just come and fix it. I just know he doesn't. But I am stronger for having gone through it. For having walked away from it, for having quit, and for having, I'm stronger, I'm healthier, and I'm better off because I did it, because I put in the effort, and he matched me effort for effort, sort of like the 401k of your spiritual life. He'll match you dollar for dollar as you give in to it. He'll help you as you're going through this. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And for years after every Thanksgiving meal, I was like, oh, man. Big old gravy, turkey, then what I want. Smoke my imaginary cigarette with my imaginary friend. It's not easy. So they wrestle, they're rolling around on the ground all night, which is a feat all by itself. Then the angel touches Jacob's hip. And the preacher in me says, from that moment on, Jacob's walk was changed. He was never the same again. The New Testament uses the walk of faith or the walk in the Spirit as a sort of a metaphor for living your life. And so we could look at the Old Testament and say that at this moment, Jacob's life is completely different because of the work that God does in him. And his walk changes. We see in the last few verses that he's limping. As the sun rises, here's Jacob dragging his leg behind him. I'll never be the same. I have wrestled with God, and my walk will be changed forever because I was fearless in the way I wrestled with God over who I am. Too many of us saints spend time in prayer, and we rise up the same. I don't care what kind of a prayer meeting we have, if you fall out or fly, or if you've got angel dust on you, or you sprout angel wings, if your walk isn't changed, you got nothing. See, you should be changed. An encounter with God should change who you are. Your walk should be demonstrably changed. Maybe not with a limp, but at least on the inside, you should recognize your own brokenness, and you should recognize that you have been with God, and he has done whooped your tail and made you better, a better person. The next thing I see here is Jacob receives the blessing of God. Now, it's interesting because he'd had the blessing. All his grazing animals grew. Got 11 boys, a couple wives. Wealthy. So he had blessing in that respect. But here now, God's blessing comes on him. I will not let you go until you bless me. Have you prayed that prayer? Here I am, God. I will not stop praying for this until you bless it. Have you prayed that? Here I am again, knocking again. God, here it's me again. Here I am asking for the blessing again and again. Heal it. Make it better. I'm crying out to you. Do not let me go, God. And I will not let you go until you bless me. See, there's a purpose why God has you in that circumstance, why God has you where you are, why you're so miserable, why you're still wrestling with God. There's a purpose. Wrestling with God is not something to be ashamed of. It's something to be anticipated. It's something to be enjoyed. It's something to be put in the schedule. I will wrestle with God. Isn't that what a time of fasting and prayer is? Isn't it amazing? We're going to fast and pray for missions. And what's the first thing God deals with? You're sorry behind. You immediately say, well, Lord, you know, I'm going to fast and pray for missions. And he says, good, I've been wanting to talk to you about your swearing habit. What does that have to do with missions? Nothing, but as long as I got you there. Pinned to the ground. I want to talk to you about your language. You're like, come on, God. Okay, say what you got to say, and then we'll talk about missions. And he says, and as long as we're talking about that, what about this issue in your thought life? And he begins to deal with you. And a lot of times you come out of, how many times have you left a time of fasting? You come out and you say, I don't think we accomplished anything with what I thought we were going to accomplish, but I wrestled with God. That's how it is for me. God gets me down in the dirt and begins to deal with me. I'm the biggest obstacle to my blessing that I know. I am my own worst enemy sometimes. God deals with me on that. Jacob receives the blessing. This is what he fought for. And here's another problem. Too many saints wrestle with God and give in. Never give in. I will not let you go until you bless me. Finally, last thing is, Jacob, his name is changed. The angel says, okay, what's your name? My name's Jacob. You will be called Israel. What's your name? My name's Heel Grabber. Now you will be called Prince of God. That's a long distance, isn't it? From Heel Grabber, Conniver, from Rip-Off Artist, to Son of God, Prince of God. That's a long distance. God can move you with one touch. And so his character was changed as a result of this wrestling. So, Pastor, how do we put that on the schedule? You must choose to wrestle with God. You. Well, can we schedule a counseling appointment? I'm sorry, your counselor can't do it for you. You must choose to wrestle with God. Can't the pastoral staff do it for you? No. Not here, not in any church. You must wrestle with God. You have to.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you are blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. You can contact us at www.berwinag.org.